Well, greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. May the grace be upon you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessing to be here this morning again. I do sense my need as I stand here and to bring forth the Word of God to be a channel for what God would have for us here in this day today. So I thank you, Andy, for praying for us, and we do want to recognize that God is able, God is willing, and so we want to, in return, be willing and able to speak His Word and share a few thoughts here that have been, that I've been pondering. I'm going to take the text out of Hebrews 11, verse 34, and it's the chapter that we know as the men of faith, and I would have liked to read the whole thing, but for the sake of time, why we're going to come into 34, then I'll read some of the others here as time goes on. So it's talking about these men of faith, and then at the end here, says they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The thoughts I want to share on this morning is in that phrase, wax valiant in fight. Valiant in fight. So that, I heard that scripture and that stuck out to me because it's something I often think about in this day that we, in our lives from day to day, we go through this life, and do we find ourselves in the fight? Now, the fight that we're in today is a fight that it doesn't end. It doesn't. There's no. It won't end until the day that Christ returns. So it's our, and Satan will always be there to put up the fight. But are we waxing valiant in fight? Valiant in fight. In the definition, it says become mighty in fight. Strong, courageous in the battle. So as we consider this, we would all say we're in the battle. But are we mighty in trying to overcome the battles? I think we'd all say we have battles. When we think about it, when we think about our battles, our struggles, the things that when we're going about our day and something comes to us, that thing that is maybe the battle, there's just so many different battles that we can be in, so many different things that can be our battle. And there may be so many different battles that each person is in here. And then there's those that, when that thought comes through to you, why sometimes it can just be a, yeah, we need to work on that. Or it can be, oh, you know, something needs to happen with that situation. Whether if it's with another person or ourselves, something personally, whatever it may be. And then there's the battles that just can weigh you down. You think about it, and you can just they just want to rob you of your peace. And then there's the battles that are even stronger than that that can just about break your heart when you think of them. But we're all in a battle somewhere. We all have something that we're facing. I believe this morning, for those that have entered God's kingdom on this earth, where there is a warfare. But I'm afraid too often in my own life, there's things happening, but it's too big of a fight. Or maybe sometimes it doesn't seem big enough. Maybe it's something I want to put off. Or maybe it's too big. So we have a tendency of just our hands hanging down and not being motivated to enter into the battle. And I speak these things because these are things that I face. These are things that go through my mind. So I don't speak these things like I have accomplished. So each one of these situations or circumstances has the right thing that needs done or corrected. And with every right thing, there's also the easy way out for that situation. Unfortunately, the easy way is most of the time the wrong way. So as we face our battles, there's always anything that has something good that we need to fight for, stand for, correct in our life, whatever it may be, there's always the opposite of something that is the easier way out, the way that it won't be as hard, the way the easy way out. The maybe the dulled down way, maybe the halfway. But there's always the temptation is always to for everything that every battle maybe that we're in, there's always the option of just the easier way. Our response or decision, I feel, is a direct reflect to our faith, of our faith. So, and we'll read 24, starting there with Moses, 24 through 31. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So we see that each one of these situations, and this is just a small picture of Moses' life, but there was choices that he had to make. And when he made those choices, the Bible calls it was by faith. By faith, so it was faith that God, or that Moses did what was right, and that faith was in God, and God directing his life, and making that decision. So that's why I say, so often, or most of the time, our decisions that we make in the circumstances we're in, or the battle that we're in, is a direct reflection of our faith. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So when they passed through the Red Sea, it was by faith that they passed through. So it wasn't a mystical thing that they had to believe enough and then the waters parted, but it was a stepping forward. It was an obedience in God in what he was telling them to do that took them through that. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what... Okay, I'll stop there. But all those choices had an easier way forward. But each time it says by faith, or you could say by doing what was right. They made the choice to do what was right, and it was counted unto them for righteousness. Their faith to follow God, their faith to do what was before them, to do the right thing. So we have the same opportunity as we walk in our day-to-day circumstances, our battles, our troubles. We can engage in the battle and we can become mighty in fight, or take the easy way and do nothing, or even at times deliberately the wrong way, the wrong thing, the wrong choice. The world around us is going the wrong direction, as we all recognize that. So if we do nothing, we'll be like Benji mentioned last Sunday, that we can be like a marinade. We can be sitting there, and all around us is the world and the way of that kingdom. And if we do nothing, it'll eventually soak into us. We'll be like the meat in the marinade. So Romans 8:36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we are in the battle. We're in a battle where there's troubles and trials and circumstances in our life, situations to work through. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we are not left without a way out. We are not left without hope. God has, Christ was tempted in every way. God has made a way for us to overcome, to fight. He has given us the weapons to overcome the warfare, the battles that we're in. But again, it won't happen if we're not engaged in the battle. These things don't just happen on their own. Too often, we sit and are intimidated because of maybe consequences, or maybe they just look too big. And I'm speaking these things, they're real in my own life. Satan is wise and hateful to the saints. He's as he ever was. But it's normal if we are in the opposite kingdom that he's in. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. So, this is not about the doom and the gloom, but it's about the reality of that is life. That is, if we're in God's kingdom, we're going to face these things. But the beautiful thing is as we read there in Romans, there is a way out. And as we see in these men in Hebrews 11, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, all these things, and they waxed valiant in fight. They were engaged. They fought. They were there to fight the enemy. And some of that was looked different then than it does now. So I'm saying these things that this is normal for us to be in this battle of as long as we're in this flesh. And whatever that battle is before each one of us, let's take courage that it's not the unnormal thing, but it's the norm if we're in the, but the not so good thing is if we ignore them, if we fall back, if our hands start hanging down, and we start letting things just make of whatever they make themselves of, if we're not in the fight, whether that's, as I said before, in our personal life or in whatever situation it may be. So I wonder sometimes in my own life, if I can't fight valiantly in the battle God has for me, how would we ever survive physical persecution? How would, as we consider this life here, we have the fight and the battle that we're in, but we read a lot about those that, the martyrs that went before us. And when I thought of that, I looked up some stories of different martyrs, and one of the first ones I came to was Macon Wenz, was a lady that was burned at stake for her faith. And I would just like to read her letter. So she wrote a letter to her husband, several of them, but there's one that I want to read to her that she wrote to her husband as she was in, and this I think may have been after she was sentenced. She was in there for a while when they tried to persuade her different in so many different ways, but then she was finally sentenced to be burnt. So some of these letters were wrote in between that time, but the letter and testimony of Macon Wenz, wife of Matthias Wenz, and he was a life minister of the Church of God at Antwerp. But here was her letter. Grace and peace from God the Father through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who grant you wisdom and understanding that you may wisely govern yourself and your children and bring them up in the fear of God, to which end may the good Father strengthen you and the Holy Ghost comfort you in your tribulation. This is the greeting and wish of my heart to you, my dear and my beloved husband in the Lord. After all salutation, I inform you that I am still tolerably well according to the flesh, and also according to the Spirit, I trust I am doing the best. But my best is nothing special. And I regret that I am not more thankful for all that comes upon me. For it is all the work of the Lord. We ought to thank the Lord in adversity as well as in that which is agreeable to the flesh. For if the Lord takes all from us, he takes from us no more than what he has lent us. For it belongs to us no longer than it pleases the Lord. Oh, that I could always thank the Lord as well when the flesh suffers adversity as when it prospers. Then we can thank the Lord indeed. Oh, my dear friend, I should never have thought that parting should come so hard to me as it does. True, the imprisonment seemed hard to me, but that was because they were so tyrannical. But now the parting is the hardest of all. Oh, my very dear and beloved husband, pray the Lord heartily in my behalf, to remove the conflict from me, for it is in his power if it is his pleasure. Truly, the Lord hath said, he that does not forsake everything is not worthy of me. For the Lord knew well that it would come hard to the flesh. But I hope that the Lord will also help me through, even as he has helped many, and for which I can simply trust him. Oh, how easy it is to be a Christian so long as the flesh is not put to trial or nothing has to be relinquished. Then it is an easy thing to be a Christian. And that last phrase there probably jolted me as much as anything. You know, we go along this life's journey, and we have troubles and we have trials, but we have been given so much in overcoming these, and the help from God, and working these things out in our lives, and there's been a way made for us to overcome. And so where my mind was going is, in these, so often we can find ourselves with our hands hanging down and our feet slow and wondering what next, what may come next, now what, whatever it may be. But God has, and those are real, don't get me wrong, but God has, I guess it goes to what I was thinking earlier of just, how would it be? How much, what all, if can we recognize what all we do have, and can it encourage us to fight that battle, to keep fighting that battle? Because we have in Hebrews 12:4, it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So we recognize we're in a battle, but we have not been through what some of these people have been through. And that's what took my mind to reading some of these letters. And then I read that, oh, how easy it is to be a Christian so long as the flesh is not put to the trial, or nothing has to be relinquished. So let's take courage. If our flesh needs to die, if things need to be relinquished in our life, let's take courage. That's if we were sitting where this lady was sitting, she would tell us that's the easy part. That's the easy way to be a Christian. If we find ourselves not willing to do that, that's the easy Christian life. And we see this in verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There would have been deliverance for them. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also, I'm going to hold off on that in 12 there. But there was just another letter that I wanted to. Maybe these are all very familiar letters. I don't read much out of the Martyr's Mirror, so when I hear, I'm always enjoy hearing the things that other people share. But this may be very familiar with everyone, so excuse me if it is. But Macon's oldest son of the aforementioned martyrs, named Adrian, aged about 15 years. He could not stay away from the place of execution on the day on which his dear mother was offered up. Hence, he took his youngest little brother, which I think he was 3 years old. Oh, yeah. Who was then about 3 years old, upon his arms, and went and stood with him somewhere upon a bench not far from the stakes erected to behold his mother's death. And when she was brought forth and placed at the stake, he lost consciousness, fell to the ground, and remained in this condition till his mother and the rest were burned. Afterwards, when the people had gone away, having regained consciousness, he went to the place where his mother had been burned, and hunted in the ashes in which he found the screw with which her tongue had been screwed fast, which he kept in remembrance of her. But I'd like to read a letter there that she wrote to him. She says, "Always fear God and love him above all. My dear child Adrian, my son, I leave you this for a testament because you are the oldest, to exhort you that you should begin to fear our dear Lord. For you are getting old enough to perceive what is good or evil. Think of Bedekin, who is about as old as you are. My son, from your youth, follow that which is good and depart from evil. Do good while you have time, and look at your father, how lovingly he went before me with kindness and kindness and always instructing me with the word of the Lord. Oh, if I had so followed after him, how light would be my bonds. Hence, my dear son, beware of that which is evil, that you will not have to lament afterwards. Had I done this or that, for then, when it is as far as it now is with me, it will be too late. Hear the instructions of your mother. Hate everything that is loved by the world and your sensuality. And love God's commandments, and let the same instruct you. For it teaches, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That is, forsake his own wisdom, and pray, Lord, thy will be done. If you do this, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will teach you all that you are to believe. 1 John 2:27, believe not what men say, but obey that which the New Testament commands you, and ask God to teach you his will. Trust not in your own understanding, but in the Lord, and let your counsel abide in him, and ask him to direct you into his ways. My child, learn how you are to love God the Lord, how you are to honor your father, and all the commandments which the Lord requires of you. Whatsoever is not contained therein, believe not, but whatever is contained therein, obey. Join yourself to those that fear the Lord, and depart from evil, and through love do all that is good. Oh, regard not the great multitude or ancient customs, but look at the little flock which is persecuted for the word of the Lord. For the good persecute none, but are persecuted. When you have joined them, beware of all false doctrine. For John says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. The doctrine of Christ is mercy, peace, purity, faith, meekness, humbleness, and full obedience. My dear son, yield yourself to that which is good. The Lord will give you understanding. I give you this, my last ode to you. My dear child, heed the Lord's chastening. For whenever you do evil, he will chasten you in your mind. Then Call to the Lord for help and hate that which is evil, and the Lord will deliver you, and good will come to you. God the Father, through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, grant you His Holy Spirit, that He may guide you into all truths. This I, Macon Wins, your mother, have written while I was in prison for the word of the Lord. The good Father grant you His grace, my son Adrian. Write me a letter as to what your heart says, whether you desire to fear the Lord. This I should like to know. But you must write it better than the last two letters were written. The one which Macon Wills brought, however, was good. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So we just see that the road wasn't easy. And just one more quick letter here, and it was to her dear son. Oh, my dear son, though I am taken from you here, strive from your youth to fear God, and you shall have your mother again up yonder in the New Jerusalem, where partings will be no more. My dear son, I hope now to go before you. Follow me thus as much as you value your soul. For besides this, there shall be found no other way to salvation. Thus I will now commend you to the Lord. May He keep you. I trust the Lord that He will do it if you seek Him. Love one another all the days of your life. Take Hanskin, that was a three-year-old, on your arm. Now and then for me. And if your father should be taken from you, care for one another. The Lord keep you, one and all. My dear children, kiss one another once for me for remembrance. My dear children, all of you, my dear son, be not afraid of this suffering. It is nothing compared to that which shall endure forever. The Lord takes away all fear. I did not know what to do for joy when I was sentenced. Hence, cease not to fear God because of this temporal death. I cannot fully thank my God for the great grace which He has shown me. Once more, my dear son Adrian, ever be kind, I pray you, to your afflicted father all the days of your life, and do not grieve him. This I pray for all of you. For what I write to the oldest, I also meant to say to the youngest. Herewith I will commend you to the Lord once more. I have written this after I was sentenced to die for the testimony of Jesus Christ on the 5th day of October in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1573. By me, your mother, who gave you birth in much pain as a memorial to you, preserve well this which your father wrote your mother when she had been sentenced, and the audi of your mother, Macon Wins. And then it says, fear them not which kill the body. So, I don't know, as I read these things, I just realized that, you know, our battles can seem big, our troubles, our trials, but we have not yet resisted unto blood. But let's take courage of these things that we face, and I don't know what it took for them to stand in the day that they were tempted in so many ways. They had says she was. She was bound and confined in the severest prison there. In the meantime, she was subjected to much conflict and temptation by so-called spiritual ecclesiastics, as well as by secular persons, to cause her to apostatize from her faith. So they were tempted. She was tempted as well. So I say these things to just encourage us to press on and to engage ourselves in the fight, not hang our hands and our head and whatever we have before us. We're in this flesh, and we'll face these things until Christ returns. But let's take courage. We have much worse circumstance situations of those that men of faith that have went before us. And sometimes I know it can wonder how it can get any worse. But in 12 there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's look at these people that went before us, and let it cause us to just to shake off these things that are dragging us down and not wanting to help, not wanting us to get engaged in the fight, to wax violently in the fight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against him, lest he be weary and faint in your minds. And that's my heart, that we can consider these people that went before us so that we don't get weary and faint in our minds, because we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So I hope this was an encouragement for me to just look and to keep pressing on, to keep on keeping on, because there's a day coming when the battle will be over, and I think we'll look at our things, if there is such a thing, but looking back, we'll see how little these things were, but how worthy they was to fight and find our way through them, because of the eternal bliss with the Lord Jesus Christ, in comparison with eternity in hell. So may God be with us. May He encourage you all to keep pressing on, and to live by faith and doing what is right in each step before us. So may God bless you.